And a good Friday morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and we are pleased to be joined this morning by Raleigh County Police Department Director Dennis Butler, who joins us on the phone. Director Butler, good morning.
Morning, Brandon. It's good to be with you.
It's good to be with you as well, and I know that a lot of challenges are forthcoming here for the police department in 2020 and the rest of 2020, and especially into 21. Budget discussions have been ongoing here for the past, I guess, really past month now, a couple months even. With the 2021 budget, I know nothing's finalized yet, but there is work to be done to have a zero budget, if not slightly less, presented to the law board by June 5th for publication. How difficult has this process been, and what do you see as the next steps before that gets published?
Well, when you're coming up with options to present, it's always a challenge when you're asked to keep your budget flat. That was the direction that I received from the law board. That's what I presented at the last law board meeting. As you know, your station reported on yesterday's city and county meeting, where it was expressed by several officials, not just the law board members, that what they really intended was for us to not fund COLAs and merits. So that was not the direction I was given before. So now we're going back to rework our budget proposals for the special call meeting next Friday.
Okay, so that will be next Friday then?
Yes, May 29th at noon.
Okay, good to know. I hadn't heard a date on that yet, so that's good to know. There's been a lot of discussion here on carryover, and we were talking here before the program, and it's a little odd to have it coming up this early on in the budget process. And it's caused a little bit of confusion, including among some of the board members here with the law board. Could you give us kind of just a little background on how and why carryover is implemented into the budget process?
Well, carryover is something that is not new. It typically, to my knowledge, has never been included in the budget discussions at this stage. Typically, a budget gets passed by the law board, and then funds that were unexpended from 2 years earlier, those are called carryover, are then applied to the approved budget. So, for example, if a budget is $1 million and you have $50,000 in carryover, the approval by the law board is for $1 million, the $50,000 is subtracted, and the tax obligation to the citizens is $950,000. And the reason why is that $50,000 was already raised and paid by them previously. So when I was asked to bring back a flat budget, my interpretation was that meant no net increase to the taxpayers. That is what we delivered. I could go into a longer discussion, but I think it just makes it more confusing the more we talk about it. But generally, carryover is unexpended funds from a previous budget year.
Right. And, you know, in terms of the COLA, I know that that's kind of caused a little bit of concern here. I know from especially Commissioner, Law Board and City Commissioner Wynn Butler. But can you talk a little bit about the impact that not having a COLA will play on the police department, especially in terms of the ability to attract and retain officers post-pandemic?
Well, you know, when we made our first budget presentation before we were experiencing, you know, the full effect of business shutdowns and reductions in tax revenue to the city and county from sales, the Midwest Consumer Price Index, which is what we use to calculate COLAs, was 1.5% last year. So that's what was in our original budget. When I was asked to bring back a flat budget by shifting some funds around from our self-insurance funds, which the department does a very good job of managing, and a lot of that is because employees make very good health care choices here, we reduced the COLA from the 1.5 to 0.63 and also had the merits intact. And that's how we arrived at the flat budget. Now, I had made an error in including carryover from an earlier budget, which I on the approved budget, which was a mistake, and we took that out. And I have let the law board members know by doing that, it really would result in no COLA. Now, how does that affect the employees? You know, COLAs are never established as a set amount like merit, so it changes from year to year. In fact, at the end of this year, I wouldn't be surprised if the CPI Midwestern Index comes in around zero or maybe even a negative number. That's very possible, which means when we calculate the budget for 2022 based on 2020 CPI, there's probably not going to be a COLA. That's what I would anticipate. But anytime, like on merits, because that came up yesterday, that they want to, the law board and other city officials not on the law board want to eliminate the merits, that creates something called pay compression. What that means is when you don't award merits during a year, employees that are hired after that come in at a certain wage, and then the ones above them have not received their merits. And so you could have employees with different tenures that are making the same amount of money, or close, not the same, but very close to the same amount of money. That affects morale. I've worked in departments, and I've seen that happen. I've worked in departments where that morale issue festers to the point where eventually there's political will to fix it. And again, my experience is it always ends up costing more later when you do that. That's the problem. The other thing I want to mention, you mentioned officers specifically. We have a lot of civilian employees, non-sworn, I'll call them. But with police officers, there is a very unique thing, in my opinion. We have, they're our employees. They're part of our family here. But those police officers, in the eyes of other departments, are commodities. When they're already trained and they have experience, they are a hot commodity. And if we reach a point in our organization where they are dissatisfied with how compensation is dictated, then that commodity can move very easily to somewhere else. I don't know what the turnover is in other city or county agencies, but police officers have portable pensions and they're a commodity once they're trained. And so those are things that I have to watch for, and I have to do my best to try to address and keep them satisfied and want to keep working here.
Yeah, I know this is causing some really tough challenges in terms of that, because and it's not just your department. This is going to be probably everywhere, right?
Yeah, I'm not trying to set ourselves apart. These are challenges that every government organization and private ones will face. You know, there have been some comments made publicly recently that there are some cities cutting wages. There are some cities not offering increases at all. Well, when the pandemic started, there were some cities that were awarding their public servants hazardous duty pay. I wish I could have done that, but I couldn't. But, you know, it's just different everywhere, but how it is handled is a local issue, and I believe again that I did what the law board requested: bring back a flat budget. I did that. It became clear yesterday that that wasn't what they wanted, and so now we're going to have to present something else next Friday to the law board.
Well, I know one thing in particular that's come up here is that IT reserve fund that was established late last year. Boy, how critical is having that now, given the circumstances we're in here in 2020?
I cannot overstate how important it was for the law board to approve that. Back in the 2014-15 timeframe, and I wasn't here, so I'm doing my best to just explain what I understand, is some IT hardware, which is critically important to the operation of our department, needed to be replaced. And for whatever reason, I don't know what it wasn't planned for in advance. And when those items had to be replaced, it created a huge financial strain on the department, and the emergency reserve fund had to be used. Well, we've known for a few years that those items have to be replaced in 2022 and 23 again. And the total cost of IT infrastructure hardware for these needs is $1.2 million. So we asked the law board to establish the IT reserve fund specifically to fund that in advance and prevent a spike in our funding requests. In other words, if you can visualize a budget being relatively flat for when those needs come up and not coming in and asking for $600,000 one year and $500,000 plus another. If we hadn't done that, then we really would be in a jam because of what the pandemic has caused. So the law board did a great job in establishing that. We have put about $330,000 in it already. We have cut costs this year mainly so we can put more money in there because it has to happen, or we risk IT failures that will impact the quality of our operations. So that is a major part of my reason for reducing expenditures this year, so we can take unexpended funds and put them in that IT reserve fund. Now, the law board has to approve that when we request it, so we will know toward the end of the year how much we have and what we can put in there.
Yeah, we're speaking with Raleigh Heading Police Department Director Dennis Butler, and we've got a phone call here. It's one of our regular guests, Director Butler. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Good morning. Can both of you hear me properly?
It's very weak.
I'll turn it up as loud as I can here. I'll shut my mic off.
Yeah, I'm getting echo. I'm getting echo again, Brandon.
Okay. Well, let's try now. Is this better?
Yes.
Okay. Let me preface this comment that I think you're doing a tremendous job. I've told many people you're probably the best director we have ever had. You walked into a situation that nobody knew was going to happen. However, I want to point out, K-State's laid off about 500 people. The city is $275 million in debt. There's not much activity going on. There's probably been 7 or 8 restaurants closed. There's going to be more people closed. We're in a serious, serious situation. I think that as a suggestion, and I don't know if this is proper, but you have a lot of officers that are in the building that are trained through the same facility that the rest of them are. Your officers are probably getting tired. And if you put those people on the street and you could hire a few more civilian employees at probably a third of their wage, we wouldn't have to hire any more officers. Can't send them to the academy anyway, as I understand. Just a couple of thoughts, but we are out of money in Manhattan. And if we go broke, it goes back on the taxpayers, and I don't know who pays for the RCPD. Incidentally, this is not your fault or anything to do with you. We have raised the budget at RCPD for the last 8 to 10 years, approximately $1 million a year.
Okay. Thank you for the comment, Paul. Director Butler, do you have any response?
Yeah, I mean, he's correct in the fact that everybody who operates an organization, where it's public or private, has been put in a situation that we didn't anticipate, and we have very little control over the factors that led to it. But each leader of an organization is tasked with also managing the organization. That's part of leadership. I think it's important to point out that in this budget that we provided or we proposed this year, we did not ask for additional officers. And I have several times made the point that the value that the citizens of this county get from the funding they provide to this organization is an incredible value, and here's why. The average ratio of officers needed per 1,000 residents across the country is 2.17. Our ratio is 1.49. Now, that doesn't sound like a huge difference until you do the calculation. So we have 110 sworn officers. I didn't ask for any more officers this year because I didn't think there was a justification for it. But if we applied the 2.17 ratio, that would come out to 159 officers, not 110. Let's go to Kansas, where the ratio is higher. It's 2.52 across the state of Kansas, officers per 1,000 residents. That would raise the number of officers, if we use that ratio, that would be justified here to 189, or 182, excuse me. I don't have my notes in front of me, but it's in the 180s. So most people don't think of it that way. Public safety is expensive. You go to any community across this country and you look at budgets, how much goes to police and fire, and it's usually about half the budget, if not more. Here, we're not part of the city or county government, so I don't know what the percentage is. What I know is that I have been hired to manage our budget. That's what we did. We were asked for a flat budget. That's what we delivered. After we delivered it, then the criteria changed, and now we're going to come back with something different. So I appreciate those comments. I'm not insensitive or indifferent to what's happening. I've had to make choices in my own life because of this, because of job loss in my family at some point. Also, some of my family members have lost their jobs in the Washington, D.C. area and most recently in Kansas City. So I'm not insensitive to this. I don't know how other organizations are managing their budgets. I'm managing mine with the resources that I have been given, and I think we did a good job and a responsible job with what we presented.
All right, well, we got to take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more with Director Dennis Butler here on In Focus from the Riley County Police Department when we return on News Radio KMAN.